When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, talking to you, as ever, about films. And joining me is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, film lovers and film likers.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. I feel this is taking it by your tone, a very serious academic sort of tone.
Well, maybe it has today. Maybe that's what mood I'm in.
For new listeners, of which I doubt there are any.
There might be one or two. We had a bit of a splurge of iTunes reviews, didn't we? That was weird. I don't know how that happened.
Thank you very much to everyone for responding to our request for iTunes reviews. It was very kind of you to write those comments. I mean, we have about roughly, for the last 4 years,
yeah,
about 1,000 listeners.
1,500.
Over sort of, time, yeah, yeah. And it never goes up. And it just sort of slightly goes down.
Yeah, and then goes back up again. It's people, you know. I don't know how many. Well, you know, that's enough for me.
Yeah, I don't want too many.
No, can you imagine?
We wouldn't be able to walk down. We wouldn't be able to talk in the street.
We wouldn't be able to talk in the street. We could use our faces.
Yeah, but
and legs.
We would have to not communicate. We have to pretend
or put
to
on
be
voices.
Mute.
But they've heard most of our voices that we could do. We'd have to learn new voices to order a coffee.
We would have to find a new means of communication.
Yeah, flags. Could you use flags?
Flags or a little translator. I think I might find a little Chinese boy.
And for him to speak for you?
No, just as a friend.
Oh, okay, fine. That's a different conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Marek's been to the cinema this week to see one of the current releases available for you to go and watch. And that film was
La La Land.
La La Land.
I normally go on midday on a Monday.
Mm.
And I've told stalkers now.
And
this is a quite a good barometer. If you go to the cinema roughly the same time on a regular basis, you can tell how popular the film is.
Oh, right. Okay. Because I thought you were going to say you see the same faces there every day and slowly you become lovers.
No, but I did see Lizzie Roper.
Oh, really?
In the same screening with a friend.
Did you ignore each other?
We chatted to each other. We looked at our names on the Crouch End Picture House wall. And then she berated me for saying that Patterson was good. And her and her friend...
Oh, you've wasted her money.
Who I hadn't met before were quite aggressive in telling me it was fucking shit. And at which point I had to remind them that we were in a Crouch End Picture House and not Wood Green Cinema. And that it was not the appropriate language. So we were both going to see La La Land, and this is the... If you go... So what I was trying to say was this cinema was packed.
Mm.
There was only about 10 seats free in the whole cinema.
Wow.
About 300-seater. So this, obviously, that's the fullest I've seen the
Well, it's doing very well, isn't it?
What was very... Another strange thing that I learned from this is that I am the cinema weirdo.
That's you now, is it?
Well, I got in to the cinema about... just as it was scheduled to start, so I got there in time to see the 20 minutes of shit adverts and trailers.
Absolutely, we have to know what the latest Volvo advert is.
And I sat at the back.
Masturbating?
No, just sat at the back looking like I was, you know, eating popcorn. Sure. I try and eat all my popcorn in the adverts, literally ramming into my face. And if you could see the space around all the 300 people, there were more seats free in the immediate vicinity around me
sure.
I had a 3-space in the whole cinema.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing this, jeans and a jumper.
Okay.
And I...
Blood on your knuckles?
No blood, but obviously I thought I was sitting in the top back corner, which is not a place people normally frequent.
Well, you've clearly chosen to sit in sort of the darkness, haven't you? I mean, that's...
I always do.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was quite a lot of space around me, so I thought, I'm definitely scaring people off here.
Yeah, no. Well, if you want to be, you know, friendly, then just pretend to be an usher and just welcome them all into the screen next
But I
time.
Did get a bit paranoid. You can hear the emotion in my voice that I must be the weirdo in the cinema.
Yeah. Or maybe that's a revelation that the weirdo in the cinema from your memories maybe was a perfectly nice person.
Well, you're trying to say that I'm a perfectly nice person.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm implying that. Yeah.
That's very kind of
you. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, that's nice. So next time you see a strange bald man sitting in the corner...
Go and sit next to them and start talking to them.
No, don't do that. Anyway, La La Land.
Yeah, what is it and what's it about?
Okay, so this is a film I didn't especially want to see, but I thought you have to see it because it's literally jumped straight into the top 20 films of all time.
Well, in the IMDb Top 250, which is the game we play, where you go to the IMDb Top 250 films... and go down their list from the biggest film of all time until you find a film you haven't seen, and that is your score. Well, I'm just looking it up now, which is why I'm talking slightly strangely.
It's 93 in Metascore, which is really high amongst critics.
Isn't it amongst the 30s is where it's jumped into? Or 23, it's risen. It's now number 23 of all time, which means my score is now 23.
Yeah.
That has decimated my score. Fucking Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. So it is a musical with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, and it sort of tips its hat to the classic sort of 50s musical style in its colour palette.
The MGM musical.
And the way it even starts with it opens up with a sort of cinescope thing. The screen splits, right. It expands and says cinescope. I'm in for an old style musical. And it starts off with a musical number, isn't really a spoiler, on a road in Los Angeles where everyone gets out of their cars and does some singing.
Okay.
And at this point, I thought, shit. I'm sick of people singing.
Yeah.
I'm sick of people singing on TV, on every single channel. There's some prick singing and talking about how they want to be a famous singer. I don't want to hear anyone just... I'm sick of people singing. I don't like musicals at all. Singing for the sake of singing, it doesn't give me any enjoyment whatsoever.
Singing for the sake of singing doesn't, but what does singing for the sake of... Singing for the sake of what is fine? Her Majesty?
If it's a part of the story...
Right.
Not just, you know what, I fancy having a song now.
So Carrie Mulligan singing in Shame. Is fine because she's in a bar and she's singing. That's her job.
Yes.
So that's fine.
Yes. Or if it's slightly story related.
Okay.
I don't like just here's a set piece number. And
you know what? I don't know. I'm not certain you're saying you hate musicals or if you hate bad ones, because we'll get back into La La Land. But this is a genuinely interesting point that I've seen a lot of bad musicals where, like you're describing, they just go, "Oh, we've gone to the butchers now, so
yeah.
The butchers are going to sing about." How they are butchers. And it's like, no, that's wrong. The song should come at a point of emotion.
Yeah.
So when someone's hiding their feelings or when they just have to share their feelings or whatever. And that's how you make the music part of the story.
There are some musicals I do like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah,
brilliant. I really like. And that film we watched, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, it's really
fantastic.
Like. Anyway... So it starts off, and it's a story of Emma Stone, who's a wannabe actress working in a coffee shop on the MGM or whatever lot, you know, inside the studio. Ryan Gosling is an aspiring pianist.
Yes.
Who wants to play jazz music, but he works in a crappy bar where J.K.
Simmons
tells him to play... Christmas songs. Now, here's when it comes in. Here is why this isn't just a normal musical.
Okay.
Because I didn't realise this. It's written, directed and produced by Damien Chazelle, who was responsible for the film of the year a couple of years ago, when Whiplash. He's written 10 Cloverfield Lane. I think he's 32
he
years
Whiplash
old.
Whiplash and 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, he wrote 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I love 10 Cloverfield
Lane. And I love Whiplash. I think he is... He's 32 years old. This bloke is a genius.
Yeah.
He's going to be... That's already you've done three amazing films. So I think this is a great film.
Right.
I didn't like it at all. I went from 2 out of 10 to 9 Marics out of 10.
Right.
And that's me, because I love a rom-com. And what it is pretty much is more of a musical romance, which isn't sickly sweet. And everything is done. It's all really classily done.
Okay.
All the humour's not... It's not sort of Glee musical, which I was worried about. It's more sort of quite cool. It respects the tradition of musical. The colours are all bright and colourful. It's fun, but then it sort of gradually becomes more dark and more serious and problematic as it goes on, which where I think it gets more interesting.
Right.
It is not my film, but I still loved it, and I thought it was thoroughly charming. I think you've got to take your hat off to the director, and also... I'm Ryan Gosling's biggest fan. There's nothing he can do wrong. I don't know if he played the piano in this, but he's just...
How good is... Does it look like it's him? They're very good at doing actors doing fake piano now, because they can...
I think it is him, isn't it?
But they can use... I don't know. I've not seen it, but they can use CGI now to cover the gaps between an actual pianist and the actor well.
The amazing stuff can't be him, because he'd be a professional musician, but I looked up... if you look up Does Ryan Gosling, it goes into Does Ryan Gosling play the piano? You know, there's lots of everyone's looked up. Not
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think he does play bits of it.
Well, he's an old music and dance stage school kid, isn't he? So,
and Emma Stone apparently used to be. She grew. I mean, the chemistry between them is brilliant.
Well, this is the third film, to my knowledge. I've not looked this up that they've done together and played sort of an item. So they were in Crazy Stupid Love together, which sounds like it's going to be, you know, twee and awful, and it's really, really good. And they are fantastic together in that. And then they're in Gangster Squad together, which is sort of a bit of turd. It's rubbish. Like, yeah. It's the opposite of what you were talking about, actually. It's got no class, Gangster Squad. And if there's one reason why you do sort of Prohibition-era gangsters in bars with moles and singers, it's because it's... It's classy and it's sort of fun and noir-y, and Gangster Squad just got it wrong.
Yeah.
It was boring. And everyone's dialogue was like shit.
Well, gangsters aren't the most intelligent people anyway.
Or maybe it was accurate. Maybe that was it. But, yeah.
But there is a lot of chemistry between them. Emma Stone, I think she does a thing where sometimes she can do the Nicole Kidman thing of acting too. I really feel like you're just trying to win an award acting.
Yeah.
I find her
a bit cold. I can't think of something I've gone, oh, she is incredible.
But she's very good in this, but I think Ryan Gosling is great. And there's been sort of mixed reviews of the ending, which I won't say anything about, but I found it deeply satisfying and added to my enjoyment of the film.
Okay, well that's good.
I really think it's quite nice when someone sort of takes a genre that's old fashioned and reinvents it.
Yes,
but still respects that tradition.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't like parody where someone clearly has a sort of spiteful hate for the subject of their humour. Like, I like it when when homage should have a load of love for what it's actually taking the piss out of, or what it's using. You know. It is always more satisfying.
Yeah. It just felt there's far more depth. Their relationship was very interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. And of course, Hollywood's going to absolutely love it.
Because it's about Hollywood. They always elevate those films, don't they?
That's the thing.
Like,
I think
The Artist was like that. Yeah. And Hugo, do you remember that?
Which was a tedious, terrible film.
I thought it was mediocre. Yeah. But because it's about Hollywood, everyone was like, it's incredible.
But I think it's very good. I mean... Is it a classic? I mean, I don't know whether it's a classic or not. It's right. being it's being elevated to that sort of status.
Mm.
Even if you don't like, you can't say you. I mean, if it's everything you hate about films, you still come away thinking this is a good, it's a good film.
Yeah, yeah. I like musicals, so I will watch it, and also because it's ruined my IMDb.
Well, stuff. It's once. Sorry, my voice is going. 7 Golden Globes. Globes, and apparently IMDb says it's got another 127 wins and 182 nominations.
So blimey.
It's an easy film to nominate because it just fits in that.
So, do we think it will sweep the board at the Oscars?
I haven't seen any other content. Well, I thought A Monster Calls was exceptional.
Yes, I did too. I thought that was
in
beautiful.
Terms of being me being moved. I've never seen anything like that, but
because of Oscar season, we now find ourselves crying in the cinema in January, don't we?
We do. Well, this is
because they put all of the weepies in January because they're the ones that win gongs.
I think there's a really nice feel to this film.
Great.
And it's really good to go and see some. You come away and you feel content, a feeling of contentment and happiness, and sort of, but it's quite a wise film as well. So I just think if you are feeling depressed, maybe A Monster Calls isn't your best bet. But this would be something you could take your nan to watch it.
Oh, that's the Marek stamp these days, isn't it? It's nan films.
Yeah, I just read a bit of trivia. I mean, I'm just quoting from IMDb.
Sure.
Apparently, Emma Watson turned down the role of Mia, which Emma Stone plays, due to conflicts with Beauty and the Beast.
Well,
interesting. I don't know if she is good enough to pull it off.
I mean, I've only seen her play Hermione Granger, yeah. And I find her sort of wooden and cold. I don't know.
Well, he's our special guest for today. It's Emma Watson.
Oh, no! No, sorry, Miss Emma. Well, I think it's time for this.
Here is a message regarding musicals.
Mm-hmm.
From Alex Hodgson.
Alex Hodgson writes, Dear Derek, Bavid and Muddy.
Hang on a minute.
What's going on here? Since everyone has a boner about La La Land at the moment, not seen it yet, it's made me think quite a bit about musicals that are actually good films in their own right, and not just good musicals. I think because of the degree of suspension of disbelief, and that the story often gets ridden roughshod over, similarly to action movies, musicals don't really get considered that much when people and critics discuss the best movies ever. I'm neither into nor averse to musicals. As a repressed British male, I have difficulty with the amount of joy in most musicals, and am much more at home watching a mediocre action movie than a mediocre musical. However, as an owner of a pair of sticking-out ears, Fred Astaire was a bit of a hero of mine as a child, with Top Hat being my favourite film of his. But I still see it as a bunch of great songs and dance numbers pulled together with a big slice of charm, rather than an important piece of culture. It's more craft than art. However, over Christmas I saw West Side Story for the first time, and it blew me away. I know the songs were good already, but when put in their context within the film, the great characterization and performances make every number zing, and each one has proper relevance to the story, unlike many tosh musicals. There's even a big slice of 50s, early 60s avant-garde running right through it, which stops it from looking too dated. They all have Cliff Richard's style. They all have Cliff Richard's style, but it hasn't aged as badly as his films. I can't think of many other musicals I've been impressed with in quite the same way. Perhaps only Mary Poppins would I hold in the same regard. I'd be interested to hear from yourselves and the Fandanglers on suggestions for other great films that happen to me musicals. Keep watching the films, Alex. So, it's a good point, because there's plenty of musicals, I agree, that the story doesn't really matter and it's not even that great a story. I mean, I think a perfect example of that being Rocky Horror Picture Show, where the songs are all great, the style, the charm, the performances, and the story is sort of nonsense. You know, it's just sort of, it's not really a story.
I mean, Grease is really good, I think.
It is. I think Little Shop is a properly good film.
Yeah.
And based upon a story, of course. It's a musical remake of a straight movie.
But is Grease, does that play sort of... I suppose that's a bit of a softer West Side Story, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've not seen... I went to watch West Side Story when it was on at Christmas.
Mm.
And I set to record and I started watching... I watched the first 3 minutes. And I've never seen a film where it was just a red screen with the outline of... in New York, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
With music for 3 minutes when nothing happens.
Well, like an overture.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. So I watched that and it came on and I got so engrossed with looking at what the cast were doing now, I didn't watch it, so I watched it. So I looked up the guy who's you would really recognise, who is called George Chakiris, who was a singer and who played the character... Bernardo is one of the leads in West Side Story, and I looked up how he looks now, and his plastic surgery is really, really weird. So I just spent 10 minutes. This is a terrible modern symptom of.
Yeah.
Rather than watching the film, looking up someone, finding out what they look now, and being slightly disgusted. And then I realised I had to go into the washing up. But I have got West Side Story to watch, and I've never watched the whole
thing. You know what? I haven't watched the whole thing either. I've got that to watch. And it is a stone cold classic. That plastic surgery thing's interesting, though, isn't it? Like, because presumably techniques have gotten better and better and better. So if you're someone who had a load in the 70s, you must be like, motherfuckers.
He's had loads of hair transplants.
That is a thing that was terrible in the early days as well, wasn't it?
But the hair looks really bad. It looks like it's all... Because on your head, you've got hair, lots of different types of hair.
Thanks, man.
Well, not me. I mean, but you know, if you use the hair from the back of your head, for the top of your head,
yeah,
it looks different. It
well, apparently, different. They now have techniques where the follicles change because know what part of the body they're in. Apparently. So it's not like if you take pubes and put them on your forehead.
Oh, no.
You'll just have black pubes and then your normal hair colour. You know, it's not like that.
Okay.
But it used to be by the looks. Didn't it? I mean, they just take hair straighteners to their forelock.
I mean, I spoke to some makeup people about people having hair transplants.
Right.
And she said it's really obvious, but people they didn't. She said some famous people, I won't name names, who denied having hair transplants, but you could see the scars at the back of their head.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they've had them, and the fact that they get really paranoid if someone starts touching their hair area.
Well, because it will be scarred, won't it? Presumably they can never shave their heads because they've got a load of scarring from where a load of follicles have been planted.
Yeah, very weird.
Very weird. Although I can understand the desire to have a full head of hair for the whole of your life.
Well, I can't remember what it was like.
How old were you when you lost it? 3, 4?
I just shaved my head when I was about 22, 23, and it never grew back.
No, really?
Never really came back, no.
Wow.
And my brothers have got full heads of hair. It's very strange. It's almost as if I was adopted. but I agree with... that's a very good email from Alex. I entirely agree with all of this sentiment and think I might even be the same person.
That's right. Well, Fandanglers, as Alex has asked, if you know of any films that you think are fantastic films and only happen to be musicals, rather than they've got great songs in, then do let us know. It's an interesting topic. You can get in touch with us by going to filmfandango.co.uk and filling out the form. Anyone else written in?
Yeah, Stuart Nicholson's written in.
Right. What does he want?
He says, "Dear Marek, David and Buddy and that prick of a dog next door." He'd written in twice because he said spell check ruined his first email. So I've been directed to his second email.
Right.
Here we go. He's recommending a film. Tunes of Glory is a British film from 1960. It's based in an officer's mess of a Scottish infantry battalion back in the UK shortly after the Second World War. During the war, the original commanding officer was killed. Another officer stepped up to take command for the remainder of the fighting. The film deals with the arrival of the new commanding officer who takes over the battalion from the stand-in. The film deals with friction, the split loyalties this brings about. I've not read that very well. Anyway, there's no CGI, fuck all explodes, no one says let's go to work, and no one has superpowers.
What's the point of going to see it if no one says let's go to work?
The film could be a play, and whilst it's set in a military environment, it really is just about human emotion and interactions. The cast is flawless. Alec Guinness and John Mills play the lead roles, and every other character, no matter how minor, is invested in. They all appear real, and you get them in an instant. This film was based solely on excellent performances and a solid story. Best watching Sunday afternoon with a brew. Anyway, have a great new year. Keep watching some, if not all, the films. I'm absolutely convinced that 2017 will be the year Marek breaks and topples that freeloader Fassbender. Well, you'll be pleased to know, Stuart Nicholson, that I have already done two of those Talking Heads programmes.
Talking about
dogs and toddlers on some obscure channel. So, I mean, I'm halfway there.
Those are two of your favourite topics as well, aren't they, dogs and toddlers? You could talk for hours on those.
It's nothing better than watching 60 clips of dogs, people have filmed on their phones, having to think of 60 different things to say whilst a bored cameraman and his assistant film you. But, you know, it's better than going to work in the woods. Which I am going
to
be doing.
Yeah, shortly. Sure. You have to do both. I've been on two detective shows this year.
Yeah,
so
how were they?
Great fun. I was murdered on one of them and got to host a chat show in the 60s in the other one.
I saw. Can you get that on ITV?
Yeah, ITV Hub is their version of iTunes or whatever.
What was it? Endeavour?
Endeavour. I think it's episode 2 of this. They do 4 feature length episodes.
Oh, really?
A season. So, yeah. And the other one was Father Brown, which is on BBC. So
oh, well done. Well, I must watch those, but I don't watch TV, so I will try and track them down.
Fair enough.
There we go. If you want to watch some great drama, you can see David. If you want to see some terrible clip show.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't mean that. For the people, in case they're listening, I'm really happy doing these clip shows. I do more.
What's it called? What's the clip show called?
No
plug
idea.
It.
I've got no idea.
You've got no idea.
Here is. I've just said to my agent, just say yes to everything.
Do not abuse that knowledge, well, Fandanglers.
How long do I have to have sex with the pig for? Would you see my face? Okay.
Do you see the pig? Then why am I having sex with the pig?
Okay.
How
diseased is the pig? Okay. Well, how much money? Well, I mean, I will accept book tokens, but how many book tokens?
And the agent takes. Okay, right.
It's a free. I bring my own packed lunch to it. Okay.
Where is it? Bucharest. Okay.
All right. There's no accommodation. Yeah, I'll do it. Anyway, here is an email from Buck Redbuck.
This is from Buck Redbuck. Subject, Rolling Thunder. Dear Marek, David and Buddy, Happy New Year. I'm hoping films in 2017 will treat you kindly, but let's not get our hopes up. You can always play it safe with a blast from the past. One of my favourite films is Rolling Thunder from 1977, starring William Devane and Tommy Lee Jones, playing troubled POW soldiers who return home from the Vietnam War to find themselves emotionally disconnected from loved ones and the lives they left behind. Lost in a world suddenly without meaning and trapped by dark memories of war, these soldiers are probably not the guys you want to mess with. That being said, the acting in this B picture elevates the film to a capital A. Penned by Taxi Driver writer Paul Schrader, Rolling Thunder is one of my all-time favourite revenge flicks. Do you have a favourite revenge movie besides Blue Ruin, I mean? That goes without saying. I found a pretty good upload of Rolling Thunder on YouTube. He supplies the link. I'll share it on the Film Fandango Facebook page as well. Best to you all, and keep watching the films. Buck. So, favourite revenge film. Blue Ruin is excellent.
Jaws 4, when the shark follows the plane.
Yes, comes for revenge. I bloody love a revenge film, you know. It's such a simple genre that is full of fun. If you like action, I mean, basically, or thrillers. But favourites. God, should have done some research on this.
I'm looking at revenge.
You know what? It's a revenge film, Leon.
That's a great film,
Matilda's revenge upon.
I mean, famous ones are Old Boy, which are not really.
Old Boy's fantastic.
Gladiator.
Yes, I guess that's. Yeah, it is revenge.
The Crow.
Mm.
Inglourious Basterds.
A part of it is revenge. A part of it's revenge.
V for Vendetta
is not a brilliant film.
I'm just going through. Leon's on there as well. Carrie.
Carrie's excellent. I'm looking forward to John Wick Part 2. I know you didn't like John Wick very much, but I did. I thought it was really good fun. And that's just a revenge film for people who kill his dog. That's it. They kill his dog, so he kills all of them.
I thought, I like Keanu Reeves as he's got older, but I can't get him out of my...
Dreams?
Dreams.
Well, I can see that would be a problem.
Oh, here's a... Now, I started watching this film.
What?
I think The Last House on the Left. You ever heard of it?
Yes, it's been remade several times with Jennifer Lawrence.
The original is absolutely horrific.
Really? What year?
1972.
Okay.
It's a classic revenge film. And it really looks like a proper shitload. But it's basically about these two girls go out drinking in town. And they meet a gang of just people just left, got out of prison. And they're attacked and... raped and all sorts. It's really graphic and horrible. And they go to the parents' house of the girl. I mean, it is brutal. It's really controversial. And I had to stop watching it because it was so unpleasant. So there's my...
That sounds brilliant, man.
That's my tip.
Thanks for telling us about that.
Of a film, but it's sort of really quite famous because it was called massive controversy. Controversy. I mean, how do you say that word? It's controversy.
I say controversy. That's how I say it.
Well, there we go. There's a few revenge ones.
Okay, revenge films.
We
bloody
should start watching some of these recommendations that people send in.
Yeah, we should. We should. Well.
Sorry, I went off on a tangent then, as usual.
It's quite all right, Marek. It's quite all right. Buddy wants to kiss you, it seems.
Yes. Why don't I just have a quiet moment with Buddy.
Okay.
And
he just yawned right in your face.
He yawned right in my face there. And then maybe you could read.
Have we got another letter?
Yeah, we've got a few.
Wow. This is from Short Film Sunday. Hi lads, I hope you had good holidays. I actually went to see ROSW, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Back on the 23rd, but I've been battling a bit of what turned out to be pneumonia, so not feeling up to writing. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. If you'd like to read it in the style of Forrest Whitaker as Saul Guerrera, be my guest. That's basically Idi Amin. I don't know. I can't, because his scenes were so weird. Anyway, you're probably going to get onto that. To be honest, it was one of my small complaints. No, I'm not doing it. Overall, it'd be annoying. Overall, I really liked it quite a lot, but I struggled a bit with maybe the first 45 minutes. I just kept having Battlefield Earth flashbacks, which I've only seen clips of. I've had a tough time with that since the first trailer with him, and I find all of the establishing material a bit fanboy pandering. Maybe just a bit slow or over-expositional. Like, they know they'll get picked to bits, so trying to tick all the boxes. But there's lots to love. You know I'm a big Ben Men fan. That's Men Bendelsohn. And he and Diego Luna did a lot of the heavy lifting, along with Riz Ahmed. And Felicity Jones is great, though I still feel a bit like she got a tragic Disney princess storyline. A strong, fierce one, but still a bit like that. Genuinely worth seeing on a big screen. Loved seeing tons of Brit actors pop up. Ben Daniels, Alistair Petrie... Babu Cisse, and I honestly think I'd like to give it another watch in a theatre. Worth it for the battle scenes for sure. Overall, well done. I haven't got to much else because coughing and sleeping have taken up much of my time, but I'm trying to get to Sing, hopefully, and I'm going to. I'm looking forward to Lion also. Thanks. Be well. Belated Happy New Year. So it's interesting about Forrest Whitaker's character Saul Guerrera, because I've done some reading. Have you seen Rogue One yet?
No.
Okay, well, his scenes, he is basically a extremist rebel. So he's not part of the Rebel Alliance from Star Wars, but he has his own little band of people who commit violent acts upon the Empire. And I've done some reading, and there were rumours of extensive reshoots of Rogue One before they released it, and everyone went, oh god, that's never a good sign. And from what I've read, it was his scenes, and I still don't know what went wrong, because his part feels bolted on. Because nearly every shot of him speaking doesn't have the other actors in shot. So that feels re-shot, like they didn't book Felicity Jones and Riz Ahmed again. But it just ends up making the character completely divorced from all the others. So the first time you see him, he's on a computer screen, rather than he's actually there.
Yeah.
So you're introduced to him, you know, like that. And then all of his dialogue is done in medium close-up, like the same shot, like they got him for an afternoon or something. Mm. Very odd. And so his character doesn't quite work. And he's a brilliant actor. Mm. So I don't know what went wrong with that. I don't know what went wrong. Whether he made a very bold choice and they with the characterisation and they decided to change it. I don't know.
Maybe it was like, what's his name? Bane.
Maybe.
Maybe you don't. But talking of Sing, I don't want to see that. No. I can't believe they've made a film about talent shows.
Oh, another one. They've made many before.
There's the Postman Pat one, which is awful. Yeah. And now there's another film about the Simon Cowell should have been shot a long time ago. Mm. Anyway, should we talk about
another film?
Yes, please.
Well, I caught up with a Stone Cold classic that I had somehow never seen. And that is The Breakfast Club. And of course, as you'd expect, now I've seen it, I understand many, many references that I've seen in other things that I didn't get before. But if you don't know The Breakfast Club, it is your sort of classic high school 80s movie.
So with all the Brat Pack at
it? Yeah, they called them the Brat Pack because they were, you know, the new Rat Pack, I guess. But it's Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, Ali Sheedy, and Anthony Michael Hall. And the entire thing is set in detention, where they have to come in on a Saturday and just stay there writing an essay or doing nothing in the hall while a teacher sort of is down the corridor. And it's basically a play. So it's set in one room with these characters and they rip each other apart and get to know each other and find out they're not so different.
With a great soundtrack by Simple Minds.
Yeah, fantastic soundtrack. You've seen this film.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, absolutely loved it. I thought it was excellent. It's aged slightly for me in the clear sort of heartthrob crazy criminal character is a dick. Like, he's not and he is the person who alternative kids have tried to emulate
I remember watching when I was thinking, Judd Nelson is so cool.
Fucking brilliant. And he's not. He's a total prick who basically bullies a girl into going out with him. That is the main plot line of the film. And it's like, that's not cool.
But Anthony Michael Hall,
he's excellent, isn't he?
I mean, there's nothing more disturbing than seeing Anthony Michael Hall grown up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because when he was in Weird Science, and it was such a huge, charismatic, and likeable talent.
Yeah, yeah. Does he do anything these days?
Yeah, if you look at him now, you recognise him. He just looks like a normal man, or a sort of slightly chiselled normal man. But he's lost all his cool.
A bit like Daniel Craig's brother. He looks a bit like Daniel Craig's brother.
Whereas when he was young, he was just so charismatic and original. You think that there's your bona fide superstar of this lot there. And it never. He was only.
Well, he played the nerd in it, didn't he?
Yeah, for three or 4 years where he was excellent in all the films that he made.
Well, he's in Dark Knight, apparently. So, you know, and he's in Live by Night, that apparently pissed poor Ben Affleck film that's out at the moment. But so he's still making stuff.
Totally unrecognisable from himself as a kid when he did all the sort of kooky sort of weirdos. I mean, looking at his filmography, he actually did work
consistently,
quite a lot,
but
just became smaller and smaller parts. And just as he gradually evolved into a normal person.
Yeah. But everyone in this, the main ensemble is fantastic. You know, I think they're just brilliant. Like, Ali Sheedy, who plays the incredibly strange girl, is stunning in this. But I didn't recognise as she's Stephanie from
Short Circuit.
Short Circuit.
I saw it the other day. Short start of Short Circuit.
Yeah.
Johnny Five! You were saying
I'm alive!
Yeah.
It's not that high. I haven't seen it in a while. it's brilliant. The sequel... No, the weird thing about Short Circuit, and the reason it probably isn't played that often now, is the clearly Jewish man playing an Indian.
Okay.
He's just browned up to play...
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Well, it was on at Christmas, and I watched approximately 46 minutes of it.
Oh. I I've got fond memories of those films.
Yeah.
Saying in the playground, your mother was a snowblower, and not really knowing what it means, but you found it funny.
Good times. Happier times.
Happier fun times. What happened to Emilio Estevez, eh?
He's worked as well. I mean, it was them all. It was quite a nice combination of all of these actors, probably at their peak.
Yeah.
So you've got, this is all their, maybe 16 candles before for Molly Ringwald.
Did Emilio Estevez's career end when he was killed in the first 15 minutes of Mission Impossible?
That sort of says where you are in terms of Hollywood.
So you're part of Tom Cruise's team. Great, great, great. And what do? You're the tech guy. Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And what happens? You get killed in a lift shaft in 10 minutes. Oh. And then Simon Pegg's tech guy, he gets a lot more to do.
Yeah, as a point in time, you never thought that Simon Pegg would get a bigger role than Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have thought that watching Young Guns back in the 80s.
He's a bigger star than Emilio Estevez.
Well, there we go. You liked it, did you?
I did. And you know what? But you know, I like films that are a well-shot play because they can really get to the heart of the characters. And I still think it is filmic, you know. It's really fun. It's really fun. And it feels of its time perfectly, you know. It's about high school kids then. And because what I've heard, you know, there's this whole thing of, you know, the jocks and the geeks and the goths and the cheerleaders and all of this, these archetypes that we're fed over here from America, as you know, that's what high school's like. I'm just like, come on, it can't be. Apparently it is. Like, apparently they are that sort of, you find your group and you stick to it, you're an outsider.
There's certain films where the idea is so good,
yes,
it almost carries the film.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, the mechanics of this film are, do you know what we'll do? Detention, we'll set it in the school, so immediately everyone, I mean, you set anything in the school, everyone can empathise with it.
Yeah.
But you twist that round and you do it on a Saturday, and so the school's suddenly empty. You've got a reason for the whole school to be empty. You've got a whole thing. We're stuck in a room in an empty.
Being
school.
At school when it's empty as well is a weird and creepy thing also, because you know it's so familiar and yet so unfamiliar at the same time.
And really exciting. Really exciting.
Because my dad was a biology teacher at the school I went to, so I occasionally got to, you know, go in at the weekend or something because he had left something.
Really
in the office.
Odd. Really,
it's really
odd.
Strange. It's quite a creepy thing actually, because, you know, big corridors, but it's like,
yeah, it totally changes the space of it. And then you've got all the different groups in. So is the idea so good?
Yeah.
I think you've got. Does it all the work for you?
I think many films have been influenced by it as well. The first one that comes to mind is Cabin in the Woods, the Joss Whedon film, which seem the archetypes of the characters seem to be sort of directly lifted from this, if not sort of influenced by the same thing it was influenced by. It's a bit Scooby-Doo, actually. Mm. But yeah, no, it's great. I mean, of course, you know it's great. You've all seen it. I've seen it years ago. I've only just seen it, but I really liked it.
But if you had to watch all the films you were supposed to see,
that
would pretty much take up all your time.
Absolutely. But
everyone's got gaps, weird gaps.
Yeah, weird gaps. I do think now, though, every film should end with someone punching the air. And freeze frame. That would be great if all
films. We could end this podcast like that.
I mean that's ambitious. You just hear the sort of that.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that all films to end with. I think that would.
How many days do you give it?
I think I'd give it 9. It's properly good. Well, that's probably enough for this week.
Yeah.
Once again, if you'd like to get in touch and have your letter read out on the programme, then please go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there, and we'll get your letter in our email inbox. And also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards the show to keep us running and to thank us for the hours and hours of chats we've now done about films, then again, filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much to people who have donated.
Are you ready to punch the air, Merrick? We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.